The 537th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match.
Heidi ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 537 is going out to our man, one of our many men in the Discord, Eric Does Sports, who had a really good joke about Brock Lesnar nesting dolls that he unleashed on us a few days ago. So my co-host looks confused, but it's a really good joke. So he should scroll back and find it. And if you're not in the Discord and you want to hear jokes about nesting dolls, and obviously sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord is the place for you. Thank you for coming to the show. I'm on your host, Jeff Chalks Fox. My voice, a little janky today, so I'm going to keep the singing to a minimum this episode. My co-host will have to cover most of the lead singing. I might be able to do some backups, but good news, everybody. The UFC is back in the apex. Thank God, right? We had to survive last week.
Seemingly, they'll be better in terms of like judges and referees there. Because I'm not real fond of the New Jersey Athletic Commission.
That would be my friend speaking. If you're not watching, that's a different voice you heard. It's not my voice being even more different sound. That would be Daniel Gumby Vreeland. I guess we can jump right into. I do want to talk about last week's event because we didn't do our usual recap episode because we had other events we wanted to cover. But I killed it last week, so we do need to talk about that. And the people. Actually, we're going against what people are telling us. They want more chit chat and less picks, right? So I think we should just talk a bit more, don't you think, before we actually jump into MMA?
Yeah, I don't know how much we need to recap. I mean, like you can read the numbers if you want, but like I'm not sure anybody's clicking on a UFC Vegas 90s prelim episode to hear about Manon Firo stuffing takedowns. But yeah, like just in general, that card. I mean, two different guys in the MMA gods giveth and taketh away. Two different guys, one by knockout that poked guys in the eyes blatantly leading into it. And I don't know if they didn't have replay. Maybe it was one of those situations where they didn't have replay. But regardless, very silly, very stupid.
They did have replay. They did have replay. They used replay for the Weidman fight.
Oh, that's right, because they made it a decision.
They fixed it. They fixed it from a knockout to a decision. Perfect. And Chris Weidman's really... He's really taken this well, too. He's really...
Did you hear he was going to retire if he lost? And I'm like, oh, perfect. Thank God we saved him.
Now he's like, big deal. So what if I had my fingers poking in the guy's face the whole fight? Big deal. So anyhow,
he got four pokes in, by the way.
Yeah, it's unreal. It was like Three Stooges. Even Three Stooges are blushing. They're rolling over in their graves after seeing that. But anyhow, I dominated Gumby. That's why he wants to breeze over this. He went 4-9 and lost $700. $724. I went 8-5 and won 195. I hit two underdogs, Gumby, 185 and a 165. So
we'll just fantastic. Have to rectify it this week then.
Our friends who enjoy us talking about ourselves, that's what we're doing right now. Talk about how great I am. So yeah, I'm ahead of you. I've doubled. I'm like twice. I've lost half the amount you've lost is what I'm trying to spit out.
Still time.
I was just going to say there's still time. And boy, do we have a fight card this week, don't we? Even you were poo-pooing it last week.
No.
We're talking about it.
I mean, I'll poo-poo the top of it. Nobody wants to see Brendan Allen versus Chris Curtis too. It almost feels like it's just like when somebody drops out, you need to put Chris Curtis in there, even if he's fought the guy before. I don't care for that fight. I don't really care for the co-main event, but there's a lot of people on these prelims I've been looking forward to seeing again. So that's fun.
Chris Curtis will say yes, so let's ask him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It's not only is it a middleweight main event, it's a middleweight rematch that no one was asking for. So this is apex at its finest, isn't it? Perfect. But we have UFC 300 next week, so theoretically it could have been worse, this card, because everyone wants to be fighting on UFC 300, so I guess they could have done worse, probably. We're talking about UFC Fight Night, Allen versus Curtis, too. We're going to jump into it. Going to break down all the prelim fights today. A prelim fight was just added mere hours before we hit the air today. So we've got, what, 7 fights today? Is that sound right? Or yeah, okay. 7 today, 6 tomorrow. And we're going to dive into that. But of course, I would be remiss if I didn't remind you, it is baseball season. Baseball season is here again. And there's some crossover. Gumby and I are baseball fans and MMA fans. There is definitely crossover. And if you are an MLB fan, definitely the MLB Gambling Podcast is a place for you. Even if you're not an MLB fan and you just like to be entertained, or you're a degen, if you're listening to our show, MLB Gambling Podcast is a place for you. Malcolm's on it. Malcolm's from England. He loves baseball. He's hilarious. He's almost as old as me. So what more do you need to hear? So Malcolm's on it. Of course, Munaf's on it. Munaf's on every show. And then they have a bunch of young pups that rotate in and out. But yeah, it's a very good show. So make sure you listen to it, subscribe, all that good stuff. And see if you enjoy it as well. I'm sure you will. All right. Let's get down to what everyone wants to hear about. UFC Fight Night. Allen versus Curtis 2, a.k.a. UFC Vegas 90. This is going down in the UFC Apex. Hooray. This Saturday, the 6th. 3 p.m. Eastern. There is a positive, I think. Usually you like that, right, Gumby?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. 3 p.m. Eastern time for the prelims. That means the main card's what, 7, I would guess?
Yeah, probably right around there. Yeah.
All right. ESPN Plus is where you can find this. Sportsnet in Canada. 13 fights. We're going to do the first 7 starting now. This confused me for a bit. Until I, because Melissa Tanya Mullins, I figured out, hey, this is Melissa Dixon, right?
This is correct. Melissa Dixon was Melissa Mullins early in her fight career. She got married to, is it James the Lionheart Dixon, who is owns a gym in England and was like a regional level British fighter. And I believe they separated because she put out a post on her Instagram saying that she is changing gyms. Was weird because it was her husband's gym.
Yeah.
And now she's going by Mullins again. So I'm assuming that means they are not together.
Yes. So the no mess nickname does not apply to the personal life right now, unfortunately, for Melissa Tanya Mullins. And yeah, she's from England. She will be fighting Nora Cornole from France, a friend of Gumby's other podcast, Top Turtle MMA. And they're fighting at bantamweight. We're going to break it down first by telling you about Cornole. Wonder is the nickname. 7-1, 5 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight, 1-0 in the UFC. She's won 7 straight fights. She's not lost since July of 2021. Used to fight at featherweight, that made-up division of featherweight. Positive strike differential in her first fight. She outstruck her opponent by 1.47 strikes per minute. She had plus 280, no respect. No mass Mullins, 6-0 with 3 knockouts, 1-0 in the UFC. She used to fight at featherweight as well. Regional champion, also world championship grappler. An inch of reach over Cornole, 2 years younger, more active landing strikes, better grappling stats. And she outstruck her UFC opponent by 0.27 strikes per minute. And she's at minus 325. So at least on paper, a squash match to kick things off to see if we agree, starting with Gumby.
So I don't think it's as much of a squash as the line might indicate, but I am going with Mullins here. I think in general, like I liked how Cornell's hands looked in her fight and how tough she looked. But the big piece for me here is that Mullins is just that much better of a grappler. You know, you mentioned that she's won some grappling titles over in England. You know, sometimes like regional level grappling titles mean something and sometimes they don't. In her case, it just means like really good wrestling. Like, I don't know how good her jiu-jitsu is. I don't know that she's submitting anybody off of her back or she's, you know, going for a mounted armbar or anything like that. But her top game is really suffocating when she does get on top of people. She's got somewhat decent wrestling here. And we just watched Cornell get taken down by, was it Jocelyn Edwards a bunch of times? And like,
Yes.
Jocelyn Edwards really is a flyweight. So we're talking about somebody a weight class down from her, taking her down. And Mullins is, you know, very physical. Actually, before she even made it to the UFC, she had gotten Daria Zeliznikova down a couple of times and TKO'd her on the mat. So like she's very, very strong on the ground. I think Cornell just suffers to stay on the feet in this one and Mullins sort of takes her down. But like that being said, I don't think this line should be quite this wide. I think the path to victory there for Cornell is just like a couple of stuff takedowns or being able to tire Mullins out.
I'm taking a big swing on a dog here, Gumby. I just liked what I saw more of her in her debut than Mullins. Obviously, you hit the nail on the head. It's pretty obvious grappling is going to be the issue here, or could be the issue here if Cornell can't keep Mullins off her. But Just like her striking way more, and I tend to always back the striker. And I'm backing the striker at a plus 280 line this time, this go around. So why not? Let's roll some dice here. Okay. Works for you. I was hoping you'd take her too, but no, that's fine.
Now I really do like her as a person though. She's hilarious.
Yeah, she is. It's true. Yep. All right. Let's move on to our next fight. Men's middleweights, Dylan Budka versus Cesar Almeida, US versus Brazil. Almeida, Sassina is a nickname, which is a soccer player. I looked it up. Ina is little though, right? I'm like, okay, what's Sess then? But no, it's a soccer player's name.
Pretty sure it's Little Caesar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Okay, you're right. So that's what it means. It's also
player and like him pretty. Are probably, yeah, they're probably they're also both
Little Caesars. Yeah. It's true. All right, this Almeida, this Little Caesar is 4-0 with 3 knockouts. He's not really little. He's a middleweight. You don't see too many middleweight soccer players. So anyhow,
he's 3-0, kind of a stocky dude, though.
Yeah. 4-0 with 3 knockouts. This is his debut in the UFC. 1-0 contender series. So not heck of a lot of MMA experience, but 47-8-1 with 1-0 contest in kickboxing and a champion in that, multiple championships in that realm. Ninja height over at Budka, 3 times more active landing strikes than Budka based off of his one, based off both their appearances on the contender series. He outstruck his opponent on contender series, Almeida did, by almost 3 strikes a minute, plus 2.86. He's at plus 135. Budka, the mindless Hulk, one of our favorite nicknames, right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
He's 7-2, 1 knockout, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. Sorry, he's been subbed once. This is his short notice debut. Warning, warning. Danger, danger. He's won 2 straight and 7 of 8. 1-0 in contender series. He's fight at heavyweight and light heavyweight. Now he's down at middleweight. Not much of a Hulk anymore. An inch of reach over Almeida, 12 years younger. It's a big gap there. Better striking stats and grappling stats based off of their one appearance. And he outstruck his opponent on contender series by 0.74 strikes per minute. He's at minus 150. Look at me taking 2 dogs in a row, Gumby.
I knew you were going to take Almeida. Yeah, and I'm going to ride with you on Almeida here. Nice. So you tell me why, and then I'll tell you why.
Insane power. Yeah. One touch power. Like walk-off power. And Budka, if I remember correctly, we weren't too impressed by him.
It was a lackluster effort by his opponent. That was the big piece.
Yeah. The age gap obviously is a bit of a concern, but short notice debut are never a good thing either. So I think Almeida I was happy to see him at plus money. I'm not really worried too much about the lack of MMA experience because he's got that power and he's got tons of martial arts experience. So give me Almeida. No Gumby will second everything I just said.
So I picked him on contender series to beat Lucas Fernando based on the fact that he had been training at Extreme Couture. And I thought that his takedown defense would hold up against Lucas Fernando. And that would be enough to win that fight. And it turned out he wound up using his wrestling in that fight. Go back and watch him on contender series. You're right. He's got crazy one touch knockout power, but he's fighting somebody taller and he can't feel like he can get on the inside. He shoots the takedowns and he actually has pretty good takedown offense and defense here. So I really like that facet of his game. Now we're going to add in the fact that he's not against somebody who is wildly taller than him, like Lucas Fernando was. And Dylan Budka, like, kind of just grinded against Chad Hanekom in that fight. And Hanekom looked like he just didn't want to fight. So like, we're going to get a guy who Almeida can probably throw hands with and tag. I think he's going to look way better on the feet than Dylan Budka. And then on top of that too, like if this does turn into a wrestling match, I actually think Almeida holds up pretty damn well in that, despite the fact that that's kind of what Budka likes to do. Cause he did so well against Fernando, and clearly the guys at Extreme Couture are going to have him ready for that style fight here too. So while you really like the hands and the power of Almeida, I actually think the wrestling bodes really well for him in this fight as well.
Well, fantastic. A complete package then for Mr. Almeida. All right. Let's see if we can get it in on the same winning dog here. All right. Before we move on, I got to tell you about Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users in sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features to give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower, big, and fully customizable odds. You can create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Get on Cut. Check out the custom bets that the SGPN crew have put up there. You can do that by downloading Cut today in the App Store over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T.com. And use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. And, of course, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. All you have to do, pick 2 to 5 players, any sport you want. Basically, they have it all. Find a stat category you like and then pick higher or lower on it. And if you pick correctly on enough of them, you can win 100 times your money in one night. You don't have to wait a full season for this kind of fantasy sports. Sign up today, with our promo code MMASGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo code MMASGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right, let's see if I make it 3 dogs in a row or not. What's the next fight? It is Bantamweight. Oh, the greatest fighter of all time, according to Michael Bisping. Gene Matsumoto, or is it Jan? It's Gene,
it's
right?
Gene. Yeah, yeah.
I think he's from Brazil. They don't. I always question. Do they do
maybe Jan?
The J.
Maybe Jan. Yeah,
it could be Jan Matsumoto versus Dan Argueta from the United States of America. 3 5-minute rounds at Bantamweight. Argueta, the Determined. Another great nickname. Dan the Determined Argueta. 9-1 with 2 no contests. 2 knockouts, 4 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 1-1 with 2 no contests in the UFC. He's got 2 straight no contests. When do you ever see or hear of that, Gumby? 2 straight no contests on a record.
Yeah, not very often. He had some bad luck on that, too.
He sure did. Used to fight at featherweight, LFA champion previously. 0-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. An inch of height over at Matsumoto. Better striking stats, better grappling stats. And he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.45 strikes per minute. Plus 155 for Argueta. Matsumoto, 14-0, 3 knockouts, 5 submissions. This is his debut. 1 non-contender series, multiple major championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. And big news, there's a new shirt in there. If you want to get sticky with this, y'all, just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, find the MMA Gambling Podcast gear, and check it out. See what we got for you there. All right. He used to fight at flyweight. 6 years younger than Argueta, 3 times more active. He's barely outstruck his contender series opponent by 0.07 strikes per minute, minus 162. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Matsumoto. I know a couple of people in the Discord were getting kind of excited that this line on Argueta looked nice, but I do just think, you know, when it comes down to it for Dan Argueta, for me, it just comes down to whether or not he has the ability to grapple somebody, because I don't think there are many bantamweights he's going to outstrike. He does seem to be getting better on that, but it just doesn't seem like that's his path to victory in this. And I'm not saying he's like a substantially worse grappler than Matsumoto. Like, it might be a draw there, but I think on the feet, Matsumoto just looks like a much better striker, right? Like, he's much quicker. His footwork is a lot faster. And so if this does wind up a stalemate, I think Argueta is more likely to wind up just kind of getting pieced up on the feet. I mean, like, I would not be surprised if this looked a lot like Dan Argueta's fight with Damon Jackson, right? When he made his debut up a weight class, Damon Jackson kind of just was like a little bit too strong for him, a little bit too good of a defensive grappler, and a little bit too fast of a boxer. Now, that was because it was up a weight class and maybe on short notice too, but Matsumoto is like a pretty big bantamweight in my opinion, right? Like, I think this guy is like an expert at cutting weight, judging by what his physique looked like in on the Contender Series. So I think you could see him doing a similar thing and like forcing Dan Argueta to like box and backpedal most of the time when he's doing that. And I think Matsumoto is just like a little bit too good for that. So I think Dan Argueta probably going to have a tough time with the wrestling, and I'm going to go with Matsumoto.
Surprise, 3 dogs in a row, Gumby. I didn't realize, really? I was doing 3 in a row. Yeah, I know it sounds like a joke, but I like, he is determined. That's exactly how he fights. Dan Argueta. I know it's a joke, but it's also, he's very dogged. That could be the dogged Dan Argueta. I think he's going to be a tough debut fight.
Him because he's so determined.
No, it's true though. That's the thing. He is though. When he fights, you can't deny that he's got that dog in him, as the kids like to say. I think he's going to be a very tough out for Matsumoto in his debut. I think Matsumoto is a little overrated. Or yours, he's become a joke in our Discord that he's a bit overrated by some people. But I like Argueta's doggedness. I like his, I think his grappling's
his determination
solid enough. His determination. and I, you know, I like who he's fought and beaten, whether it shows up as a no contest or not. Ronnie Lawrence, for instance. But yeah, I'm willing to roll the dice on another dog.
Wow. Go figure,
right? Yep. I didn't know this until I actually started. I'm like, whoa, there's three in a row. All right. Next fight. It's actually close. I could be taking a dog here. Who's to say? The lines are close, at least. It is a women's strawweight bout. Cynthia Calvillo, United States of America. Piera Rodriguez. Notice I didn't say Rodriguez, which tips you off. She's not from Brazil. She's from Venezuela. 3 5 rounds, 115 pounds. I will tell you about Calvillo first. 9-6-1. She's been in the UFC for so long, and she's only has, what, 12 fights in the UFC tops? She's been around since, like, forever, a clock, it seems. Anyhow, 9-6-1. Two knockouts, three submissions. She's been knocked out twice. 6-6-1 in the UFC. She's lost five straight fights, ladies and gentlemen. She's not fought since April 2023. She's not won since June of 2020. Used to fight at flyweight. She's actually bounced around between the weight classes, which is shows a fighter is desperate when they start bouncing around weight classes. She's missed weight twice at strawweight before, so keep an eye on that. If you're planning on taking her, the stats say you do not take a fighter that missed weight because they only win 42% of the time. So just keep that in mind. If you're a Cynthia Calvillo backer this week, you may want to wait till Friday morning. Inch high, inch reach over Rodriguez, more active landing strikes, better grappling stats. And she's outstruck her UFC opponents by 0.29 strikes per minute, plus 135. The Fiera is what, Gumby?
The force, the power.
The beast, yeah. All of the above. That would be Rodriguez. 9-1 with five knockouts. That is pretty forceful. She's been submitted one time. 2-1 in the UFC. She got submitted in her last fight. Remind us who that was against, Gumby.
Jillian Robertson.
Yes. No shame there. And it was that was over a year ago, so keep that in mind as well. Fighters who have been out of the cage a year or more win 46% of the time. So not quite as bad as missed weight, but it's still pretty a pretty significant thing. One known contender series, LFA champion, used to fight at flyweight, 5 years younger than Calvillo. She outstruck her contender series and UFC opponents by 0.48 strikes per minute, minus 130. I can't go dog again here. Rodriguez, I can't pick Cynthia Calvillo. We're getting a good line here, too. Rodriguez is a pretty darn good fighter.
Is she?
Like I said, she's all right. She's better than Cynthia Calvillo. She's not.
I don't.
You're picking Cynthia Calvillo?
I'm going to pick Calvillo. Yeah. And here's why. Like, I just don't trust the takedown defense of Piera Rodriguez.
Okay.
Because, you know, you mentioned, you're right. There's no shame in losing to Jillian Robertson, right? Like, Jillian Robertson, amazing grappler. If Piera Rodriguez had taken her down and gotten armbarred as a result, maybe I'm like, oh, you know, Piera Rodriguez, probably not such great fight IQ, but, you know, probably still good. She did get taken down twice by Jillian Robertson, who, you know, and I'm not hating on Jillian Robertson. I'm not trying to throw strays here. Not a great wrestler. And if you want to peel it back even further, she fought Kay Hansen, and Kay Hansen took her down a bunch of times. And like that, I want to be a win for Piera Rodriguez, but like those takedowns don't age well. And, you know, you can say what you want about Cynthia Calvillo. Obviously, there are huge problems with her game. She hasn't won very often. She's even her boyfriend has been signed to the UFC and he's losing. So I think.
Who is that? Sorry to interrupt.
The fight stalker, Mitch Ramirez.
Oh, okay.
The fight stalker. So Cynthia Calvillo, like, yeah, nothing's going right for her at the moment. But the one thing you have to say about her is she can wrestle, right? Like, that's always been the thing that has been sort of like her ace in her back pocket is like she can wrestle a little bit. And we've always thought her ceiling is high as a result. So if Piera Rodriguez has like questionable takedown defense and is getting taken down multiple times by Jillian Robertson, I have reason to believe Cynthia Calvillo could do the same thing. I think she can take her down two or three times, edge out rounds that way, and win this on the judges' scorecards.
That's all right. You put your hard-earned money behind Cynthia Calvillo. You go right ahead.
I wouldn't advocate putting money on either of these fighters.
You just did. You just told everyone. Everyone, you know, people listen have to bet on every fight, Gumby. They don't
That's
have
right.
to.
That's a rule.
But they will. That's our rule. Plus, they would have anyhow. Come on, let's be honest here. All right, we're differing on things, which is going to make Saturday a fun day, a fun night. All right, next fight, no odds for this yet, right?
Oh, yeah, there are.
Announced. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I can hook you up with him. You want to hear him?
I will, after I finish each bio, I'm going to guess if Falcao is the underdog here. I'm going to go with him first. Pedro Falcao. 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 From, I think that's better. Falcao from Brazil.
Yeah, Falcao.
Falcao. Victor Striker Hugo from Brazil as well. Sometimes he just goes by, is this Victor Striker he goes by, or Victor or Striker Hugo he goes by? Victor Striker?
You see Victor Striker sometimes.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. All right, I'm going to tell you about Falcao first. Pedrino, we know what that means. Little Pedro. Lil Pedro. He's 16-3, six knockouts, five submissions. He's been knocked out once. This is a short notice, a debut. This is about as short notice as it gets. Not quite like Pedro brothers level short notice, but pretty close. He got put in this fight today, today being Wednesday, and the fight is on Saturday. 1-0 contender series. He's won five straight and 10 of 11. Two straight wins have come via finish. He did not get a contract after contender series. I should mention that he's been fighting since then in other promotions. Has not lost since March of 2018. Used to fight at featherweight, 2011 pro and May debut. 0-0-1 as a pro boxer. Based off of his, they're both fighters won fight on the contender series. He's got better striking stats. He's more than twice more active landing strikes. That sounds better. He's at plus 2.45 strikes per minute. He outlanded his opponent on contender series. Still not enough to get him a contract. He also is a pro grappler. And the number on him is?
What do you think?
Plus 300.
Plus 110.
No, it's less than that. 110?
Plus 110.
Oh, fantastic. Hugo Striker. 24-4, eight knockouts, nine submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. This is his debut, 1-0 contender series, part of a 13-fight win streak, four straight via finish. He's not lost since March of 2014. Oh, that's a long time. He did miss weight in the UFC fight that did not happen a couple fights ago, so keep that in mind. Used to fight up at featherweight, up at lightweight, up at welterweight. So this is quite a drop down in weight for him at bantamweight. 2011 pro MMA debut. He outstruck his contender series opponent by 0.14 strikes per minute. He's got an inch of height and 5 inches reach over Falcao. And the number on him is?
Negative 130.
All right. Go right ahead, Gumby.
I'm going to go dog.
I did some film here. So you're going dog here.
I'm
going
to dog here on Falcao. Yeah. Like, look, he posted it plus 155. That was the first number I saw. Hugo came in at negative 180. The money's pouring in on Falcao. If you're listening to this right now, odds are you've already gotten behind the ball and Falcao is already a favorite. Because if you watch their film, the thing you have to know about Falcao is he is just a relentless wrestler. And while I like Hugo's hands a little bit better and his well-rounded game better, and I think that's probably why the book started him at like a negative 180 favorite, the reason the money is coming in on the other way is because if you watch his contender series fight, he got held up against the cage for long periods of time in that fight. And did he get the best of those exchanges? I don't know, kind of at the end, right? Like he wound up getting taken down in like an awkward position and pulling for a knee bar and getting it. But like if he didn't do that, I don't know it would have wound up good for him. Additionally, anytime he's grappling, he's one of those very risky grapplers, right? Like he goes for a lot of heel hooks. And he used a couple of those on the contender series for positional reasons and to like use them to sweep. But if you use a heel hook in MMA, first of all, you leave yourself open for punches, which I'm not sure Falcao is just going to drop a whole bunch of punches. But more importantly, the problem that leads is you give up a lot of positions. And against his opponent on contender series is a Kaut. I'm trying to remember.
It was say that again.
His last name was good. Say it again. Kaut. Was that the
yes,
last
Kaut.
Name?
Yes, Kaut. I like how you said it, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whether it's correct or not, I enjoy
it. He's from Chile, right? If I'm remembering correctly. But, like, that guy held him up against the cage, and he tried a whole bunch of, like, you know, weird leg lock stuff and wound up in good positions. And it worked against him. But it won't work against Falcao, right? That style does not play against Falcao. Falcao will get on top in that position. Falcao will pass in that position. And then you'll be in a bad position against a guy with good submission skills and good top game. So I like Falcao here. And again, you know, I think if you're trying to get him as quickly as you can. That number is crazy going in the opposite direction.
Gumby already steamed the lineup. He said some money must have come in. He knows. Gumby knows. He remortgaged his house and put it all on.
It's gotta be crunch. Oh no, it's turnip who moves
Ryan. Turnip moves lines. I'm taking Hugo. Not obviously the short notice is a big thing. I did some tape study too, Gumby. Even though
I know you did, we talked about it.
Some people claim we don't do tape study. Well, I usually don't. I usually don't because only if this excuse me this event I had to do a lot because there's a lot of people I don't remember, or I was having trouble picking fights. That was gross. Excuse me. I'm taking Hugo. Better striker, as Gumby said. Got the reach also, 5 inches reach in his advantage. And Falcao is a madman going for takedowns, which could be an issue. He's coming in here on 3 days' notice. And You got to worry about the cardio if he doesn't get Hugo out of there quickly, and he's not above taking some shots also to try to get his opponent down. So I like Hugo better in this fight. So there you go. We differed again. Go figure.
Yeah.
It's very interesting Saturday coming up. All right. I heard you talked about this fight and it might have swayed me. I heard you talk about it on your other podcast. And that would be a women's bantamweight fight. Norma Dumont, Brazil. Germaine Durandamy from the Netherlands. Yeah, what do we do with this fight is what I was going to say.
Like, I don't know. Throw your hands up and bat your head against the wall.
No, we're the experts. We have to tell people what to do. But yeah, this is a hard one to break down because the Iron Lady, Germaine Durandamy, is coming back for the first time since October of 2020. She's been out 3.5 years, and she also had a baby during that time too. So all things that make this very hard to, and she's almost 40 years old too. So a lot of things make this hard to handicap, but we'll give you the breakdown regardless. The Iron Lady, Germaine Durandamy, 10-4, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been knocked out once, submitted once, 7-2 in the UFC, and used to be the champion of the world at featherweight. 6-1 over her last 7, won her last fight via submission. Like I said, that was back in October 2020. She's not lost a fight since December 2019. Used to fight at featherweight, as reported. 2-1 in Strikeforce, 2000, Strikeforce never die. 2008 was her pro MMA debut. Multiple kickboxing championships on her mantle. 2 inches height, 4 inches of reach over Dumont. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 0.58 strikes per minute, plus 155. Norma, the immortal Dumont, 10-2 with 2 submissions. She's been knocked out once, 6-2 in the UFC. She went 3 straight and 6 of 7. She's missed weight a couple times. So like I warned you before, keep an eye on that if you want to bet her or this fight in general. Used to fight at featherweight as well. 6 years younger than Durandamy. That's a bit of a concern if you're going to take Durandamy here. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes, and better grappling stats. And she's outstruck her UFC opponents by 1.42 strikes per minute, minus 155. Like I said, what to do with this fight? I heard you go in on Durandamy, and I agree with you here. I was going to pick Dumont, but really, why was I going to pick Dumont? If Durandamy,
she's had Chelsea Chandler.
Yeah, she's on a good run, but she's not a dangerous fighter. If Durandamy's 75% of what she was, she should be able to win this fight, you would think.
I think that's a perfect. I think that's a perfect handicap. Like if she's 75% Germaine Durandamy, I think she pieces Norma Dumont up in a violent way. Norma Dumont's not a good striker, right? Like,
no,
I think we can agree on that. Like, yeah, she tagged Chelsea Chandler and made her do the running headbutt into the cage and all that. But like, I don't think we can like leave that and be like, oh man, watch out for that Norma Dumont. And Germaine Durandamy is an expert striker. Like, say what you want about, you know, how exciting she is, or you know, the fact that she wouldn't fight Cyborg at featherweight and just relinquished her title or whatever. She's really great on the feet, and she's shown kind of sneaky submission skills. I think people forget she submitted Juliana Pena. She guillotined her, which is kind of crazy in retrospect to think about. There's really, if she comes back at 75% Germaine Durandamy, there's really no reason she couldn't be champion, right? Like, I'm not crazy about that, right? Like, 75% Germaine Durandamy might beat Raquel Pennington, never mind Norma Dumont. So, like, I mean, like, what you're hanging your hat on here is just that, like, she can come back from giving birth and raising a child, which is, like, a very hard thing for your body to do. And we've seen a lot of women struggle with their first or second fight back, right? Like, we saw, you know, the name that sticks out to me the most is Mackenzie Dern. Like, her first couple of fights back from having her daughter was really difficult for her. And she's sort of found her way since then. So, like, you know, you're sort of hanging your hat on the fact that you think she can come back and she can come back and be 75% of herself. But, hey, at plus 155, you know, I'll take a stab on her being quick to recover here.
Yeah, it's also – I don't usually play the odds because I figure my job is to tell you who I think is going to win and you can decide if the odds are good for you. But, yeah, the odds kind of help persuade me in this one too. If the odds were flipped around, would you still be picking Durandamy here or not?
I think I'd still lean to Durandamy, but I think I'd be way less interested on the number. I'd probably talk about it like I talked about Melissa Mullins, being like, yeah, I think she's probably going to win, but like that doesn't interest me at all. Like plus 155 interests me because, again, I think she's better. You know, if you just watch film, it's not like you're going to find film of her looking worse than Norma Dumont anywhere out there.
Yeah. And it shows how much the UFC respects their former champ. They have her buried in the prelims of a UFC Apex fight card.
behind Volter Walker.
Yes, they are not a fan of Jermaine Rademy because she didn't fight anyone anywhere at any time. You know, if you don't kowtow to the UFC, then we know how it goes. All right. Main event time of the prelims. Court McGee, friend of the Top Turtle MMA podcast, United States versus Alex Morano. I think he was on Top Turtle before. Am I remembering correctly? Many times. I was correct in that. This is a welterweight fight. So Gumby has to choose between two of his former guests here. All right. Tell you about McKee first. The Crusher is the nickname. 21-12. 5 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. 10-11 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight. Before that, he won 2 straight. Before that, he lost 3 straight. So 0-2, 2-2, 2-5 is the record over the last 7 fights for this gentleman. What else can I tell you about him? Both of his previous 2 losses have come via knockout. Not a good thing. Has not won since January of 2022. Used to fight at middleweight, 3-1 in the Ultimate Fighter, and he won his season. He's got to be one of the only Ultimate Fighter champions that actually lost a fight, right?
Yeah, he was the first one. I think that was the year they added the wild card. If you remember correctly, the wild card fight. Do you remember who he beat in the finals?
I looked it up. I can't remember. He beat good people in the house.
He did.
Better than the finals.
The finals was Chris McCray.
Yes, whoever that is. Oh, I kind of remember that guy, I think, from the house. But yeah. Yeah, who did he beat in the house again? Remind everyone. Remind me.
I don't have it offhand. Hang on. Right. I'll put Doesn't the intern matter. On it.
Yeah, the yeah. intern will look up. Anyhow, 2007 was his pro MMA debut, so he's been around quite a while. 3 inches reach over Morano. Better grappling stats than Morano, and he's outstruck his UFC opponents by almost a striking minute over his career. He's at 0.95 in the positive, plus 250 on McKee. Did the intern find it yet?
Yeah, he beat Seth Baczynski to get into the house, which is a pretty good one. And to get to the finals, he submitted Brad Tavares, who's
that's the name, right?
Hard to finish. And then there's a win over there against James Hammertree.
I remember that name too. I must have watched that.
I can see the guy's face. He's got really big ears, if I'm remembering correctly.
There you go. I do remember this season. I did watch it. Who am I kidding? I watched it. All right. He's fighting Alex Morano. I did not watch him on The Ultimate Fighter because he was not on The Ultimate Fighter.
His best friend was, though.
Who's his best friend, Gumby?
Ricky Tercio.
Oh, Galaxy Brain's his best friend. Really?
Yeah. They're good buds. Yeah.
Weird. That's kind of a weird combo, don't you think?
It's a really weird combo. But he told me about when Ricky was in the house, how excited he was for him. So
cool. This would be the great white we were talking about. That would be Alex Morano. 23-9 with 1 no contest, 6 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. 12-6 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's gone loss, win, loss over his last 3. And 5-2 over his last 7, which sounds a lot better than loss, win, loss. Was regional champion. What else did he do? 2010 was his pro MMA debut. So we got a couple of OGs going at it here. 6 years younger than Mr. McKee. More active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.85 strikes per minute, minus 290. All right, finish us off here, Gumby.
I'm going to close with Morano here. I sound sad
about it.
Yeah, because I really do like Court McGee, although I do like Alex Morano too. It's just like I'm going to be sad about how I break this down. we've talked before about once your chin starts going, it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Not Chris Weidman's. No, sir.
It's just really feels like that, right? Court McGee was one of those guys who you could hit as hard as you wanted and he just kept coming forward, and then he got hit by Jeremiah Wells and everything changed. It seems like his button has been pushed. And not for anything, Alex Morano hits pretty damn hard. You know, I think people sleep on how good his boxing is sometimes. He's so much faster than he looks. Because right, like he looks very unassuming.
He's a great white dude, fast in the water.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's very quick. He's got good power in his hands, and I think, you know, I love Court McGee. I think his wrestling is maybe dangerous in this fight, but the fact that he's just kind of had that button touched a couple of times and both very recent, I don't love that. So yeah, I'm gonna go Morano here.
Yeah, me too. Basically the same. I know it's boring, but the same. Same handicap and breakdown right there. You can't pick an old guy who's been knocked out 2 fights in a row. Fighting a guy who's, you know, it's not like he's got pillows for 6 knockouts for Morano. Obviously the caveat is Chris Weidman, because obviously he's back. So
Do you think Court McGee's going to poke people in the face?
He should. Nothing happens to you if you do. Oh, yeah. He lost his knockout. Instead, you got a decision. So why not, right?
Yeah, because he's going to get a performance bonus for that.
Yeah, he got some he got some firm warnings as well during the fight, right?
Yeah. Yeah, double secret ultra final probation.
Exactly. You're going to make me really mad if you do this again. Oh, you did it again. Okay, one more time. Anyhow, hopefully this weekend, everyone fights clean. All right. But like I said, there's no incentive really to fight clean. Regardless, let's recap, shall we? We both have Morono. We actually agreed on a fight there. Boom. Both have Duranemi. There we go. We ended up in agreement. He has Facao. I have Hugo. He, being Gumby, has Calvillo. I have Rodriguez. He has Matsumoto. I have Argueta. We both have Almeida. He has Mullins. Don't call her Dixon. I have Cornole. Right?
That does it.
Oh, fantastic. All right. We're going to be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully you enjoyed this. We shall be back tomorrow with our main card. What else we can talk about tomorrow? We're going to give you our locks, or dogs, our props, and a two-fight parlay Gumby's got cooking for you that's going to win you mucho dineros, or dollars, or pounds, or francs. We have listeners worldwide. Who knows what euros? They could be using any
kroner.
What was that?
Kroner. Donair?
A kroner. Yes, kroner. Where is that again?
Ukraine, I think, yes, uses kroner, but there's also other Scandinavian countries like Norway uses the kroner.
How about donair? That's something totally different.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Lira?
Oh,
lira?
It's food. Yeah, lira, that's true. Donair is food. You don't know, no. Don't know what a donair is?
No.
No? Anyhow, people won't like it.
Don't ask donair.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Don't ask that. There's a title. We made it to the end and we didn't have a title. Don't ask donair. Wow. Fantastic. Look up donair after we get off the air here. All right. Where can you find us, Gumby? You can find us in the Discord, obviously. sportsgamblepodcast.com/Discord. You can find us on Twitter, X, SGPN MMA, Gumby Vreeland, Jeff Fox Writer. There are the handles. I am at Jeff Fox Writer on Instagram as well. We told you about Gumby's Top Turtle podcast. I'm not on it, so you don't have to hear my annoying voice. Gumby, who is on it this week?
I was talking with Chepe Mariscal, who we're going to talk about a little bit tomorrow. And I was talking with Michael Dufort, who might be on one of our regional episodes because he is fighting for PFL 2 in the lightweight season this year.
And boy, is he French, Gumby.
Yeah, I told you, he was so freaking Canadian.
Yeah. No wonder the story he tells. No wonder the New England crowd was not a fan of him. Not just the accent, but yeah, he really lays into the being from Montreal thing. So yeah, good interviews. Make sure you listen to them. Always. He never swings and misses with his interviews. Even if the interviewee doesn't cooperate, it's still fun.
Yeah, I've had a few of those. Are you referring to a big sloppy?
I'm not thinking of anyone.
I was thinking of a big sloppy. No, not top.
Yeah, no, there's been a few, and they're maybe even more entertaining. So yeah. He has Galaxy Brains on. He has everyone on. So yeah, make sure you listen to all of that good old stuff that Gumby gives us, and of course sports gambling. Oh, YouTube, definitely get in YouTube. Keep sending in those comments. We love them. I'm sure everyone who has put comments in there are still watching at this point too, for some reason. So make sure you still comment. Our numbers are still going skyward. So thank you very much for that, people. And of course, our main website, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, is the place to be. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store is the place to get cool gear, maybe even sticky gear. Go check. And sportsgamblepodcast.com/Patreon is the place to help us crush corporate gambling. We'll be back tomorrow. It'll be a very determined Jeff Fox, and a mindless Hulk will be by my side. Gumby Vreeland. We'll talk to you then. Bye.